Our text that we want to look at today is the last two verses of Psalm 126, where it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Now, Psalm 126 is a psalm. It's short. It's only just six verses, but it really records a time of deliverance for the nation of ancient Israel. If you look at the opening verses of that psalm there, the psalmist really gives thanks to the Lord for this deliverance. In verses 1, 2, and 3 of the psalm, he says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord have done great things for them. The Lord have done great things for us, whereof we are glad." And then whenever we come to verse 4 of the psalm, we have record there of the psalmist's prayer, even for a greater time of deliverance. For he says, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south." And then whenever we come to verses 5 and 6, the words of our text for today, we read here really of the Lord's promised blessing upon future labor and toil. It says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Now, verses 5 and 6 here of the psalm are words really that are a wonderful word of encouragement, I believe, to all God's people regarding the great work of seeking to win souls to Christ. The Bible, the Word of God, is really a textbook regarding this vital work. In recent weeks in our Lord's Day ministry in the morning time, we've been looking at some of the great promises that we find in the Bible and the Scriptures. Well, here in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, with the promise of blessing for the Christian in the work of winning souls to Christ for salvation. Dear believer in Christ, in our meeting this morning, as you would think upon this great promise, I pray that indeed you may be encouraged to win others to Christ for salvation in your day and generation. The Bible says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." There are a number of things I want you just to notice in regard to this promise of blessing to the soul winner from our text. Notice first of all with me the plan here of the soul winner. It says in verse 6, "He that goeth forth bearing precious seed." And those words really highlight the plan of the believer who seeks to win souls to Christ. You notice the mention there of the word "he" in verse 6. It really shows us that God's people personally are to seek to lead others to Christ. It says in the book of Proverbs, "He that winneth souls is wise." It's a personal work for the believer to be involved in. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ reminded his own disciples of this very fact when he said, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And dear child of God, in our meeting this morning, let me say this, it is the responsibility of each and every one of us who are saved to seek to direct and to point others to our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You think just about that word "goeth" there as you find it in verse number 6. That word "goeth," it speaks of activity. And it reminds us that God's people are not to be armchair Christians, as it were, doing nothing for the Lord. No, whenever we are saved, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to reach others for the Savior. You remember again what the Lord said to his disciples in the Great Commission. He said, "Go ye," that speaks of activity, "go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And dear believer in Christ, you and I were to go into all the world and we are to reach others for Christ. This means us witnessing to others in our families, in our family circles, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood, where we live, in the community and beyond. witnessing for the Savior, encouraging others to come to Christ for salvation. People of God, when we think about this morning, let us ask ourselves the question, when did we last speak of Christ to an unbeliever that has crossed our path? When was the last time we've sought to win a particular individual to Christ? My, this is the vital work for the Church of Christ to be involved in. This is a vital work for the Church of Christ to be employed in. You think whenever there is an election in our land, my, whenever there's an election, the candidates for that election, they knock our doors. They post literature into our homes. They make broadcasts on the media with one aim, trying to get us to vote for them or to persuade us to vote for them or whatever they seek to stand for. Well, dear people of God, in light of what Christ has done for us in salvation, my, we should as Christians be most diligent in seeking to persuade others to trust Christ and to come to Christ for salvation. My, you think of the Apostle Paul, he was a persuader of men for Christ. What did King Agrippa say to him? He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord," Paul says, "we persuade men." And what motivated him to be a persuader of men to come to Christ? It was this. He could say, "For the love of Christ, constraineth us." And he thought of the wonderful love of Christ to him as an individual, to him as the chiefest of sinners. He had this burden, this compulsion to persuade others to come to Christ and to trust Christ for salvation. You think also of that word forth there in verse number 6. It says, "He that goeth forth." It speaks of going forward, going forth. And you know, whenever you go forward, you leave something behind. And might it be soul winners for the Lord, we must leave behind our sins. And we must seek to obey the Lord. You remember what is said to the Christian in the book of Hebrews. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." How important that is for the believer, for the Church of Christ. One particular occasion, an evangelist was witnessing and doing door-to-door work, inviting people to a gospel meeting, knocking the doors, giving out invitations. And he went to a particular home in this community where he was laboring for the Lord, and he knocked the door. He told them who he was. He told them what he was about. And as the conversation went on, the person spoke to him. He says, "So-and-so down the road's a Christian. They claim to be a born-again believer in Christ." And then he went on in the conversation. He says, "If that's Christianity, I want nothing to do with your meeting." Because that person, though they professed to be a Christian, had not a good testimony in the area where they lived and where they belonged. Such was their testimony before the world. How important then it is that we leave behind our sins and every weight that doth so easily beset us. Think of Philip the evangelist. The Bible says he was a soul winner. But how does the Bible describe Philip? It says he was a man of honest report. He was a man of integrity. A man who had a good testimony before others. How vital that is for you and I who are saved. Also, that word forth there, going forth, it implies sacrifice. In winning souls to Christ, we must be prepared to sacrifice our time, sacrifice our ease, our ambitions, our pride, our feelings for Christ. I was listening recently there to the testimony of a lady many years ago by the name of Lilius Trotter. Don't know if you've ever heard tell of her, but she was a missionary in North Africa and Algeria, laboring amongst the Arabic people, the Muslim people. But before that, she was a young lady with great talent as an artist. And no doubt if she had went on with her talent as an artist, the world really laid her feet at that particular time. But there's a battle going on in her life. Should I go on and pursue art as a career? Or should I, as a young woman, as a young Christian, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Might she give up to the claims of God, and she went off as a young woman to serve the Lord in North Africa among the Muslim people. And my God blessed and used her in a mighty way to lead others to Christ. But she put Christ first. She was prepared to sacrifice her own plans, her own ambitions, whatever they are. What did C.T. Studd say? He said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice should be too great for me to make for him. And dear people of God, in sacrificing our own plans, our own ambitions, our own wants, our own ways, we must lay them all down at the feet of Christ. Lay them all down at the feet of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in sacrificing these things as believers, we must seek God. Seek God for that enablement, that infilling, that empowering of God the Holy Spirit to be a witness for our Savior, to be a savior unto life to some in this world in which we live. Turn with me in your Bible over to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. And just look at what is said there in verse number 8 of this chapter. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here's the encouragement, Christian, for you and I to be a witness for the Lord in our life, in our circumstances, day by day, whatever they are. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. How were they to be that witness for the Lord? It wasn't in themselves. It wasn't in their organization. It wasn't in anything of man, but it was through the power of God, the Holy Ghost, through laying hold of God in prayer, seeking His help, seeking His blessing, seeking His power. Why, we must go forward in the work of soul winning, not depending on ourselves. The Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. We must go forward depending upon the Lord, His power, the power of the Spirit of God. You go back there to Psalm 126 and the verse number 6, and you'll notice there that mention is made of precious seed. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed. And the precious seed that you and I are to sow as believers is the seed of the Word of God. We're not to sow our own thoughts, our own words, or the imaginations or words of men. No, in the work of the Lord, we are to sow the Word of God. That is the precious seed that we are to take with us in our ministry for the Lord. You think of what is said about God's Word in Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's power in the word of God. God has promised to bless his word. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God has promised to use his word to save souls. Therefore, dear people of God, in our work of soul winning, we must do all we can. Just do all we can to spread the word of God. And to speak forth the word of God. As a farmer must sow his seed in the field in the springtime if he is to reap a harvest, so we must sow the seed of God's word in this world if we are to win souls for Christ. You think of the harvest hymn that we often love to sing. It asks the question, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? How important that is in these days in which we live, to sow the seed of the kingdom. Sow the seed of the word of God. Yes, we see here the plan of the soul winner. Notice secondly here from our text, notice the compassion of the soul winner. Look again at verse 5. It says, they that sow in tears. Again in verse 6, notice the words, he that goeth forth and weepeth. The mention there of tears, the mention there of weeping, it shows the compassion that we need. If God is to use us to point others to Christ. How important that is. In the early days of the Salvation Army, General Booth said he would like to send his recruits, those young recruits coming into the Salvation Army, that he would like to send his recruits to hell for 24 hours so that they might get a concern for those who are perishing in their sin. Yes, it has been said that the gospel of a broken heart begins with the ministry of a bleeding heart. As soon as we cease to bleed, we cease to bless. people, this morning you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, here on earth. The perfect Son of God who'd come into this world to go to the cross, and he knew all that lay before him. He was one who was filled with compassion toward others, to the lost sheep. He was filled with compassion toward them. Turn with me in your Bible over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9. And look at what is said about Christ in verse number 36 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, it says he was moved with compassion. That means his whole being, his whole heart, his whole soul, his innermost being was moved. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. What compassion the Savior had. He was moved with compassion. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he met with a rich young ruler who said to him, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That young man boasted of what he could do and what he had done. And he went away, we're told, grieved from the Lord because he had many possessions. He turned away from the Lord. But it says this about the Lord Jesus Christ regarding that young man. It says in the scriptures, Jesus beholding him, loved him. Christ loved him. Christ showed compassion toward him. Remember also the Lord Jesus Christ at the tomb of Lazarus. It says Jesus wept. The tears of Christ show you and I the love of Christ. The compassion of Christ, the very sympathy of Christ. The Bible speaks of Christ praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says he prayed with strong crying and tears. It all speaks of the compassion of the Lord. Then remember him on the cross when he was crucified. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In all of this we see the love of Christ towards the lost, towards poor and needy sinners, towards those that had turned their back upon him. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with compassion towards the lost, towards those perishing in sin. Child of God, in light of the love of Christ towards sinners, let us ask ourselves the question today, have we something of that love within our hearts, within our souls? Or have we lost that compassion for the lost? The Bible speaks of the end times and says the love of many shall wax cold. We've lost that love, that compassion, that burden for souls. How we need to confess that to the Lord. How we need to ask his forgiveness and earnestly pray that the Lord would restore to us something of his compassion, something of his burden for those that are poor and needy, those that are lost and perishing in sin. You think today of the words of the hymn writer Charles Wesley. He said, enlarge and flame and fill my heart with boundless charity divine. So shall I all my strength exert and love them with a zeal like thine and lead them to the open side, the sheep for whom the shepherd died. My, he was asking God to stir up within him, give him that fresh burden, that fresh love in his heart for the souls of men and women, boys and girls and young people dying and perishing and lost in their sin. Notice finally here, just from our text today, notice the reward of the soul winner. It says there in verse number 5, it says, they shall reap in joy. Again in the latter part of verse number 6, it says there, he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Here we see God's promise of reward to the faithful soul winner. Notice the mention there of reaping, the mention there of sheaves. It all speaks of harvest. It all speaks of an ingathering. It all speaks of blessing. Even in the work of soul winning, seeking to win souls to Christ. Yes, it goes without saying that not everyone that we witness to shall be saved. But some will be saved. You remember what Paul said as he wrote his letter to the Corinthians. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered,
But God give the increase. He knew that God would give the increase. Again, it says in the Word of God, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The promise of God, and His promise cannot fail.
Turn with me your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and look with me please there at the verse number 23. And here Peter is writing to those who were saved through the witness of others, no doubt using the Word of God, speaking to them through the Word of God. And look at how he addresses them in verse number 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That speaks of blessing. God blessed the Word of God to these people to whom Peter was writing to. And they were saved by the grace of God. Why, whenever the farmer sows his crop in the springtime, he sows in faith. Those of you who are farmers, when you reseed the field or put in a crop, whatever it is, you really sow in faith. And then with God's blessing in the autumn, the farmer reaps the harvest. He gathers in the crop, gathers in the grain, whatever he has sown in the springtime. As there is life in every viable seed, so likewise God has promised to bless and to use the seed of His Word to the salvation of souls. That's something we must ever keep before us. Something we must never lose sight of. In the book of Isaiah, God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God says His word, the word of God, not the word of man, but the word of God, will not return unto Him void. God promises to bless His word. Think of what is said in the book of Ecclesiastes. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Commenting upon the words of that particular verse, Charles Bridges said something very important. He said this, he made this statement. He said, nothing is lost that is done for God. Remember that, dear Christian, nothing is lost that is done for God. There was once a man who had no time for the gospel or the things of God. However, he had a wife who was saved. His wife prayed for his salvation. His wife faithfully witnessed to him. And one Sunday, he agreed to go with his wife to her church. And as he went to that meeting, he heard the word of God. God began to deal with him and spoke to him. He became convicted of his sin and of his need of salvation. He left that meeting. He went home that Lord's Day, said nothing. The next day, the Monday morning, he went to go about his business, whatever that was, and was about to leave his home. As he left his home, there was a voice began to speak in his heart and in his mind. And the voice was this. It says, if you go out in your sins and have an accident, you'll be in hell. He stayed in the morning thinking, pondering over those words. Again decided to leave his home, and again as he was about to leave his home, the thought again came to his mind. It was this, if you go out in your sin and have an accident, you will be in hell. And this greatly troubled that man. Under deep conviction of sin, he went up to his bedroom, went to his bedside, got down on his knees in prayer, and he asked the Lord that morning to save him, to become a Savior. And the Lord heard his cry, because the promise of the Word of God to every repentant sinner is this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in saving that man, the Lord cleansed his tongue. He liberated him from the addiction of cigarettes. He made him a witness for the Lord. But the thing to note is this, the faithful witness of that man's wife was blessed and used of God. It was not in vain. Dear believer in Christ, in the meeting this morning, remember this, as you seek to live for the Lord in this ungodly world, remember the promise of God's word. He says to you, dear believer, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look at the promise here of our text. It says, he that soweth unto you shall reap in joy.
He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Go forward this week serving the Lord, witnessing for the Lord. Go forward into the springtime of the year, seeking to serve the Lord, resting upon his promise, dear believer. Whatever comes your way in the service of God, remember this. Your labor, whatever it is not in vain in the Lord. Remember the great promise of this text. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless, without a shadow of a doubt, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If you're in the meeting this morning, friend, and you're still not saved, please note that if you die in your sin, you too will be lost in hell forever and ever. Therefore, I say to you, be wise today, this very day. Repent of your sin. Flee to Christ. Seek Christ. Call upon him to save you. Ask him to wash away your sins in the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. Praise God, the Lord will hear your cry. The Lord will save your soul. For the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Lord says, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Will you be among that whosoever will, even today? Take of the water of God's salvation freely. Come to Christ and trust him. Know the blessing of God's salvation in your soul. Know what it is to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord day by day. And be a witness for him until Jesus Christ comes. Until he calls you home to glory. We'll just close our meeting this morning, please, by singing together the final hymn in our order of service. The final hymn in our order of service is 518 in our own hymn book. It's a lovely old hymn reminding us of our great responsibility and the opportunity and the privilege of serving the Lord. It says, there's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding. Yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. It's not great talents that God uses. God uses those that just give themselves up to the Lord. Their abilities, whatever they are, yield them up to the Lord and surrender to the Lord. Give your life afresh today, dear believer, to the service of the Lord. And the Lord will bless you and use you for his honor, for his glory. We'll keep our seats while our sister leads us in the playing of this lovely old hymn.
We'll just close in a word of prayer, but there's one here today and you're not saved. Don't go away without the Lord today. Come to Him and trust Him. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'd be no hurry away. I'd be glad to open up the Word of God with you. Point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who's able, who's waiting, who's ready to save you this very day. If you'll come to Him and trust Him for salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here in the house of God today. Bless Thy Word and the truths of Thy Word to all our hearts. Let the words of man fall to the ground, but bless Thy truth. Apply it indelibly, effectually to all our hearts. Help us day by day as Thy people to serve Thee in the home, in the family, Lord, in the workplace, in the community where we are, where Thou displaces day by day. And Lord, even, Lord, should Thou call someone even here from this congregation to a life of a full-time service, trust them forth, we pray, and lead them and bless them in the way that Thou would have them to go. For any, Lord, in our meeting house today not saved, speak to them. And even today, may they choose Christ, trust Him. May they not reject Him anymore. But oh, may they embrace Him today, whom to know is life eternal. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this Thy day. Return us again and Thy will this evening hour. This we pray and this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming. As we said, we'll not be going to the door. But just remember as you leave to take your time. It's good to see all you've gathered. And especially good to see all the boys and girls and babies with us in the service this morning as well. Thank you.